The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It is on page 93 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Amen. The greatest and ultimate event for Israelites will be Exodus. The life journey they went through in Canaan as they settled down to live was not an easy one. Israelites followed Moses, and yet they were in a quandary. Their path forward was blocked by the Red Sea, and 600 Pharaoh's horses and chariots, along with the horsemen and troops, were following them from behind. So there was no stepping back. At that moment, God had Moses raise his staff and stretch his hand into the sea. Not only was Moses' hand raised, but God's hand was with them because the staff that Moses raised was God's staff. However, the Red Sea did not suddenly split, nor did the sea temporarily retreat due to the ebb and flow of the tide. Throughout the night, God had divided the Red Sea, and a wall of water had been raised on their right and on their left by blocking the water flow so they could cross. If the Red Sea had been divided, but the ground was not dry, and rather was consisted of wetlands full of mud holes, then it would have been a tough ground for at least 2 million Israelites, especially women and the weak people, to pass as they carried their luggage. Healthy men would have also needed to carry their children on their back or in the front, while also tending after their livestock, which would have been a tough situation for them as well as they crossed the sea. God's tender care was as impressive as the division of the Red Sea. God had high temperature and tough winds to blow all night long so that the ground of the Red Sea was dried up and as firm as if it had been made of concrete. If we look back on our lives, we cannot help but confess that God was with us so that we can stand up again despite the adversities we faced in life As God made our life places to be firm and dry so that we would not fall and start to walk and run again. So even if we live our lives as best as we can, where we are today is the result of God's providence as He divides the Red Sea of our lives and dries up the ground, regardless of whether we realize it or not. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites were covered by the sea. As Israelites experienced this moment of closure of their slavery in Egypt, which had lasted for 400 years, and finally became free children of God, they started to sing. In Exodus chapter 15, 1, it says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. Both horse and driver He has hurled into the sea.'" Moses and the Israelites emphasized that God is highly exalted and sang, "Both horse and driver have been hurled into the sea." So they are confessing that Pharaoh's chariot and army had been tossed into the sea. In track and field, there is a game where you throw an object. Games where you throw the farthest away are hammer throwing and the javelin. The world record for hammer throwing is about 86 meters, and that for the javelin is about 98 meters. The Israelites sang that God did this to the chariots and soldiers of Egypt, not the hammer nor the javelin. How we perceive horses and horsemen nowadays and how Israelites perceive them then will definitely not be the same. If someone asked me, "Pastor, what is your hobby?" And if I respond, "My hobby is horseback riding," then he will take another look at me. Even nowadays, horseback riding is not a common sports activity for an average person. At the time of Exodus, horses signified not only wealth, but also authority. When Israelites lived as slaves for 400 years, Egyptian soldiers would have reprimanded them with whips as they rode on their horses. Not only that, Pharaoh had a massive army of horsemen follow Israelites to capture them. God had horses and their drivers thrown into the sea. As Israelites witnessed such moments, they would have been deeply awed. Israelites experienced such momentous exit from Egypt and took their first steps towards Canaan. However, the next scene went as the following. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 24. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?'" On the day of Exodus, Israelites confessed that God has performed an amazing feat for them, and tears of awe would have trickled down their eyes. However, on the next day, all they could see was wilderness. Nothing changed the next day. Hearts of Israelites started to falter. By now, God should send some drizzle, or have them discover a small stream if there wasn't a large river nearby. But they did not find any body of water. But they walked for 3 days, but no sight of stream or pond was to be found, let alone even a small spring to drink from. Finally, they arrived at a point where they found some water to drink. However, it was too bitter to drink. So the Israelites named the place Asmara, which means bitter. So the Israelites started to complain. God had Moses throw a piece of wood to make the water to be potable. God also led Israelites to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees so that they could camp there. Let's look what happened after in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Israelites followed God's command and left to the new wilderness, where they ate manna and then camped at Rephidim, where there was again no water. However, Israelites now passed the point of mere complaints. They quarreled with Moses. To quarrel means to physically fight or to argue at a court. So Israelites would have shouted, "If you led us out of Egypt, you should take responsibility. Who asked to escape? Pay us back for our losses." Israelites had camped at Rephidim, not following thoughts of Moses or plans of Aaron. They had camped at Rephidim because they thought they had followed the command of God. Israelites saw the Red Sea be divided, the turning of bitter water to potable water at Marah, and also ate the manna that no one had eaten before. Then they could have trusted and waited that God would lead them to a path of goodness, but they failed to do so. Their thoughts had clouded God's guiding hand and ways. At that moment, Israelites themselves had become God. Barnabas and Paul were sent on their first missionary journey by the Antioch Church. On this journey, Mark, who was Barnabas' cousin and a young minister, also accompanied them. But Mark ended up leaving Perga in Pamphylia and returned to Jerusalem. Because of this, Paul and Barnabas could not go on their second missionary journey together. So Paul took Silla on the second missionary journey. The original plan for the second missionary journey was to revisit where they had gone on their first missionary journey and encourage Christians living there. Instead, Barnabas and Mark took that path and headed south towards Cyprus. So Paul and Silas went north towards his hometown, Tarsus in Cilicia. There they met a young man named Timothy at Lystra and circumcised him and had him join their mission team. Through the works of Paul's team, many churches grew firm in faith, and the number of Christians also grew. However, the Holy Spirit did not have them deliver the word in Ephesus, Smyrna, or Philadelphia in Anatolia. So Paul's team returned to the east for missions. Then they tried to go northeast near Bithynia, located north of Ankara, the current capital of Turkey, but the Holy Spirit did not allow it. Paul's team went to many regions of the current Turkey by foot, not to become more aware about the world. They also did not travel to sell or buy things for financial purposes. It was to deliver the message of the Lord and Jesus Christ, who came to earth to give eternal life. So wherever they went, there were many people who accepted the gospel, and the church became like a church. In such situation, the Holy Spirit blocked such mission twice. Reflecting on the situation, couldn't they think that it is not the Holy Spirit preventing them from delivering the message or stopping them from arriving at a destination, but rather the devil? So they could have decided to withstand all sorts of difficulties to spread the gospel and even travel late at night or disguise themselves so that no one could recognize them so to reach their destination point. However, Paul accepted and obeyed that this situation was under the Holy Spirit's control. So when Paul's team was at Troas, a Macedonian appeared in a dream at night and requested, "Please help us at Macedonia." Paul's team accepted that such image came from God and that God was guiding them to deliver the word of God in Macedonia. So Paul and others took a ship to the first city of Macedonia, Philippi. If the Holy Spirit led them to change their missionary path twice and used vision to lead Paul and others to Philippi, then one may expect something amazing is about to happen. It is as if thousands of people will gather at the largest amphitheater of Philippi and listen to Paul's declaration of the gospel with expectant hearts. It is as if at least large numbers of people were waiting to be baptized when they arrived at some place of worship. However, no one was waiting for Paul at Philippi. On Sabbath, Paul and others went to pray by the river. According to the law of Israelites, at least 10 men had to be present to have a synagogue. By the river, there were only a few women, including Lydia, a woman from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. This means that there were not 10 Jewish men, so they could not establish a synagogue. So they delivered the gospel to these women, and Lydia received it, and her entire family was baptized. And also when Paul and others went to a place of prayer, they met a female servant who was occupied by a spirit and had become a fortune teller. The literal meaning of the female servant is a girl. The young girl had been occupied by a spirit, told the future, and lived as a slave to her owners. This girl was living as a cash machine to earn money to her owners. Paul healed the girl, and owners realized their hope of earning money was no longer available. So they took Paul and Silla to the authorities and said, "These men are advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Then the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. So Paul and Silla were severely flogged, and they were thrown into prison with chains around their feet. If we were Paul and Silla, what would we do? What kind of story would we share in prison? The Bible testifies what Paul and Silla did in prison. In Acts chapter 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silla were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul and others did not come to Philippi because they had wanted to. They did not go to Philippi because there was an expo for tents. When their missionary journey was blocked twice by the Holy Spirit, they obeyed. They also saw a clear vision from God that they had obeyed. And yet, they are now in prison. However, in that place, Paul and Silla prayed and sang hymns. It was not a timid sound they made, but it was so loud that other prisoners could hear them. Usually people pray when their lives do not go as they want, when there are problems to be solved, work to finish, and a mountain to climb, our prayers become deeper. When we're joyful, our prayers rarely go beyond 30 seconds. We usually pray, "Thank you, God, for answering my request. I will obey you with all my heart as well from now on." That is usually the end. So we can understand that Paul and Silla prayed in prison. But they also praised God. Praise are lifted up when our lives are rough and full of problems, and life does not go on as we want. Praises are lifted up when we are joyful and full of thanks. But we also may praise when life is tough, full of problems, and complicated. If such circumstance becomes clear to you, and you recognize the hand of God, then you may start to praise. The praise we sing then comes from the deepest part of our hearts, which we do not usually experience on a daily basis. If Paul and Silas sang a hymn we sing nowadays, then it would have been hymn 412. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial like strains, it unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. Paul did not yell or complain to God. Father, the Holy Spirit blocked the mission twice and told me the will of God through a vision. We obeyed your guidance and came to Philippi, and the result is flogging and imprisonment. How could you do this to us? Paul believed that God had led him there. So the hymn he sang shook up the prison, and prison guards and their family members became baptized, and they witnessed the start of the Philippi church. Jesus started his public ministry by being baptized. Then the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended, and a voice came from heaven, and God said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This scene seems like a coronation ceremony that proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. The second biggest painting in the Musée du Louvre in Paris, France, is the coronation ceremony of Napoleon I, drawn by Jacques-Louis David. It is 9 meters 31 centimeters wide and 6 meters 10 centimeters long. The painting depicts the coronation ceremony of Napoleon Bonaparte, who self-declared himself as the emperor in 1804. But his wife, Josephine, is actually crowning him. The painter David wanted to paint Napoleon himself putting on the crown, but the Vatican objected. So the painting was edited so that Josephine crowned him. The previous sketch of Napoleon putting a crown on himself is still available to this day. However, the coronation ceremony of Jesus was declared by God, and the Holy Spirit crowned Jesus. The National Fountain Day of Korea is the holiday thus designated to commemorate the establishment of our country, and the literal meaning of this holiday is the day that heavens opened up. The real heaven opening day is when Jesus was baptized. A person is born, disconnected to God due to sin, with heavens closed. So each day is a heaven closed day for people. But when the Lord came to earth, the history of heaven opening day started, and heavens are still open. If you look at today's scripture, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. After the coronation ceremony that marks the start of Jesus' public ministry started, Jesus spent the first 40 days in the wilderness. the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. According to the Gospel of Mark, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And in that wilderness, Jesus was tested by the devil, which tried to prevent Jesus' coming to earth. We will continue to look at this carefully in the next few weeks. The place in contrast to this wilderness is the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived. It represents a place where you can eat all you eat and a place where nothing falls short. In contrast, the wilderness that Jesus was at represents a place with nothing to eat and everything falls short. But the devil tested Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect, and also tested Jesus in the wilderness, the toughest circumstance. So we can learn that there is no place without temptation of the devil. Sometimes we think that if we are in a place with more wealth and freedom, a better social status or circumstance, then we could serve God better. So we pray for such situation and even work for it. But there is no such perfect place. Jesus was led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he entered the public ministry by withstanding the temptation of the devil in the wilderness. The wilderness was the best place to seek God only. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the season we commemorate the birth of Jesus and hope for his coming. There's only one Sunday left for year 2021. How were your places in life in the past year? Were your places of life like Mara, filled with bitter water? God that turned the bitter water to potable water in Mara, understanding the situation that Israelites faced, is the same God that we believe in. God guides us where we are planted. If you accept this, then let's walk with the Lord where we are planted. Also, are your places of life like Rephidim, where Israelites had camped following God's words but did not have any water to drink? You obeyed God and followed his words in your places of life, but do you feel as if you are at waterless Rephidim? God who led Israelites to Rephidim is the same God that led us to where we are planted. Let's take God as the purpose of our lives as we worship in the Spirit and in the truth. God will use his ways to make water from stones. As God accepted Israelites as children and led them to the promised land in Canaan, God will fulfill his will through us and grant us goodness as long as we confront our realities and take God as our purpose of life, regardless of where we are and how our families are. Apostle Paul was called to deliver the gospel, but the Holy Spirit at times stopped him from going and delivering the message. Not only that, he was led by a vision from God, but what was waiting for him was flogging and imprisonment. It seemed as if incomprehensible things happened to his life and his plans had all failed. Despite it all, Paul believed that God was in charge of every circumstance, so he could pray and praise God in the prison of Philippi. So he could witness the mysterious hand of God as Philippi Church was founded, thanks to Lydia and her family, the fortune-telling girl occupied by a spirit, and prison guards and their family that came to believe in Jesus Christ. Dear beloved church members, even if COVID-19 pandemic ensues and where we are planted are like the wilderness, may we not forget that God has placed us there and listen to the word of God. In those places, may we take God as the purpose of our life to believe in God who starts new history and live a life of worship in the spirit and in the truth day by day and live as children of God. This is the best way to commemorate Christmas and truly hope for the coming Jesus. This is the best way to end our 2021 because God only works through those who walk with God and takes God as their purpose in places they are planted. Let us pray. Father God, Israelites confessed that their crossing the Red Sea was entirely the work of God. They also praised that God will lead them to the Promised Land. But in just 3 days, they complained to Moses that water in Marah was bitter. They had eaten manna from God, but fought with Moses because there was no water to drink in Rephidim. We look back upon ourselves to see if we can see Israelites in ourselves. Even if our life places are like Marah and Rephidim, may we realize that God did not take us on the wrong path or that God is ignoring us. Apostle Paul accepted the Holy Spirit's refusal to have him take a journey to spread the gospel, and also when the Spirit blocked the destination of the journey. When he followed the clear vision from God, what was waiting for him was rough flogging and imprisonment. Nevertheless, he could accept such circumstance, praised and sang hymns, because he believed it was God's providence. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we checked that the Lord went to the wilderness through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and began his public ministry after withstanding the temptation of the devil. When our life places seem like the wilderness, may we trust that the Lord has led us to such tough environment, and may we walk with the Lord by taking God as our purpose. May our each day be days of worship in the Spirit and in the truth, and may we beautifully close 2021 as true children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.